Blog Talk Radio. And welcome to another edition of Plus Model Radio. I'm your host, Shanice Lewis, and thank you so much for tuning in this evening. We have a great lineup for you tonight, including Cynthia Sliwa, CEO of Aprecia Fine Jewelry, image consultant and author, D'Lo Brown, Plus Model and photographer, and Sage Salzer, Plus Supermodel. So we have a great show lined up for you. Up first is Cynthia. Cynthia Sliwa approaches jewelry with the passion of a collector. She left corporate law to study image consulting and to take classes at the Geological Institute of America. She utilized her studies to create a line of fine jewelry for the plus-size market, Aprecia Fine Jewelry. As the image counselor, Cynthia is a certified personal image consultant who coaches clients on matters of personal and professional style. She provides image consulting workshops and services for jewelers and other professionals. Cynthia also writes regular columns on jewelry, image, and style for several publications, and she was awarded the Rising Star Award by the Association of Image Consultants International in 2005. So let's welcome Cynthia to the show. Hi, Cynthia, are you there?
Hi, Shanice. I'm delighted to be here. Can you hear me?
Yes. Thank you so much for joining us this evening. Did I pronounce your last name correctly?
You did indeed. Thank you.
Oh, good. So first, tell us about Aprecia Fine Jewelry and how that came about.
Well, I have been a practicing lawyer for over 20 years, and I found that jewelry is undoubtedly the most powerful accessory a woman can wear. And as I did some research, I realized that very few jewelers were supplying pieces of jewelry in their store, and I'm talking about fine jewelry now, that were larger than stock sizes. And generally, bracelets would be available in a 7-inch length, and necklace maybe 16 or 17 inches long. And it occurred to me that there was this opportunity to really serve the plus-size market and provide instant gratification in having a line of fine jewelry that really celebrated full-figured women as much as any other woman should be able to walk into a jewelry store and pick up a piece of jewelry and enjoy it immediately.
Right.
So I was taking classes at the Gemological Institute in Carlsbad, and the idea for Aprecia was born. And it's really been a joy for me to essentially tell the world that the plus size woman, the full figured woman, curvy, whatever term we choose to use,
right,
is as worthy of really beautiful accessories as everyone else.
So, and let's make the distinction: you carry fine jewelry,
That's correct,
costume jewelry.
Yes, you know, I still sell my vintage costume jewelry, especially my brooches, at a number of fundraisers and special events. For example, I will have a booth at the NAFA convention that's coming up in Los Angeles. But since vintage costume jewelry requires that I find one piece and then sell it, and I wasn't actually manufacturing anything, I wanted to create something new and special, and my classes at the Gemological Institute really persuaded me that rather than do another costume jewelry line, it would be really statement-making to release a line of fine jewelry. So the jewelry is 14-karat gold and gemstone, sapphires, rubies, and so forth.
So why did you decide to make a jewelry line exclusively for plus-size women? Was it personal experience?
I think it was realizing that there was a lack of anyone doing this in the market, and I really wanted it to be a statement to the world that all women deserve to be able to find beautiful jewelry that fits. Somebody who can wear the standard sample sizes is always going to be able to find beautiful jewelry.
Right.
But as I did little tests, events, I asked a friend to shop various stores, and he would go in and inquire as to whether they had a bracelet that would fit his mother, he said, who had a large wrist.
Mm-hmm.
And either the jewelers looked at him with a glazed eyes, like deer in the headlights, or they would bring him over to the men's jewelry section and say, well, some of these bracelets are a little bit longer, maybe they would work. But what I wanted to create is something that's really beautiful and feminine and sort of, as I say, it's specially designed to flatter the generous curves of the full-figured woman. And that was really the concept behind Apricia. I can certainly customize any of the pieces in the line to fit someone of any size. So that's always a possibility.
Yeah, that was going to be my question. So it's not only what's on the website. You can.
That's correct. I had the prototypes made up, and actually I had to remove the pricing from the website recently because the price of gold has just skyrocketed recently.
Oh, really?
It's been very bad. In fact, a lot of designers who are working in platinum have given it up entirely and are going to gold or silver. So the prices are a little higher than they have been, but I'm trying to keep the cost down as much as possible. And so at this point, I ask people to call in, and once we can figure out what measurements are necessary, then we can advise what the price would be.
So if something is custom, does that make it more expensive?
No, because really all the pieces from the line have always essentially been custom.
Okay.
I may show a bracelet in an 8-inch length, but if somebody needs 8.5 or 9 inches, then it has always been the case that I would be able to quote them, you know, what it would cost for the additional length.
So tell us, how did you move from jewelry to being an image consultant?
It's funny, Shanice, because in a way, the image consulting was preceded my moving into fine jewelry.
Oh, okay.
Because what I found was selling vintage costume jewelry, I realized that various people were attracted to different styles of jewelry,
mm-hmm.
and I found that if I had repeat customers, many times I could anticipate what they would want,
mm-hmm.
and I was trying to figure out what that was about. So as I was conceiving the idea of a plus-size jewelry line, I wanted to understand the principles of design that would make it appropriate for my target customer. And I realized that image consulting would sort of bring me into that whole area of the study of form and features and personality and give me some basis for creating designs that I felt would really work for my market. So that's really how I got started. And I have to say it was like an epiphany moment for me going to my first image consulting conference. This is the Association of Image Consultants International.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to one of their conferences back-to-back with a legal conference, and I was really nervous about it because I thought everyone was going to be gorgeous and they wouldn't have any interest in a you know, full-figured lawyer in their midst. And
right.
I found it was a wonderful, welcoming group of people, and I was completely taken with the subject matter. So ever since then, I've continued my studies, and actually this January, I earned my Certified Image Professional designation from AICI, which
okay.
is the second level.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm truly loving the opportunity to work one-on-one with individuals, women and men both, to help them realize their authentic image and put their best foot forward, whether it's for personal lives or professional lives.
So tell us, what do you do as an image consultant and what type of services do you provide?
I do two basic overall categories of services.
Mm-hmm.
On the individual level, I do a color, line, and proportion analysis. Mm-hmm. That means helping people find their best colors. You may recall going back to the 1980s, although you're a little young, maybe you don't remember, when Color Me Beautiful came out, the book by Carol Jackson, it was the first time that this concept of some colors being more flattering than others first came into the public eye. Mm-hmm. And she used a fairly simplified system of the four seasons. Since then, image consultants have refined the system significantly. I actually use a system called the Body Beautiful System, and I do analysis of personal colors that really looks at all the tones in the skin, the hair, and the eyes, and works from that to incorporate then reds and darks and lights and metals and all the colors of essentially of the rainbow, and just determine which are the most optimal. It's amazing how powerful wearing the best colors can be.
So
and
you
I
don't
do
go
then,
as far as going to someone's closet and picking out specific things. You don't do that.
Well, actually, I do. After I do this initial analysis, and I also review their proportions, kind of figure out where people are long or short. It's a wonderful exercise, and it really helps in the process of shopping. The next thing then is really the wardrobe review, and deciding, you know, where are there holes in the wardrobe? What things just need a little bit of tweaking or alterations, and which things are ready to be retired. And then what I can do also is actually not only put together sort of a shopping list, but actually assist with the personal shopping. And what I can do is pre-shop for my clients so that when we go shopping, I already have garments pulled. They can head right to the dressing room. We've got it all set up. And it's a very easy process for them to find some things that I've already done a good cut that these things will probably work. So it's a lot of fun, and I love to see the transformation. It's just so rewarding for me, and it's very exciting.
So image consultant, it sounds kind of similar as a wardrobe stylist almost, would you say, or is it a big difference?
I'd say wardrobe styling is really part of what this is about.
Uh-huh.
And let me distinguish between two other types of stylists.
Mm-hmm.
There are personal stylists or personal shoppers at some of the major department stores who can assist.
Mm-hmm.
The big difference between what they do and what an image consultant does is that, of course, they are restricted to the stock of the store, so they can only help you so far as the store has garments or accessories that they can sell you.
Mm-hmm.
There are also celebrity stylists, and that industry at the moment seems to be fairly unregulated. Some of these people are genius, and some of them really don't have much training, let me put it that way, be kind. But there are stylists, the celebrity stylists in particular, their job is to snag the latest, newest, hottest fashions from the designers and get them on their clients first so that you see it on so-and-so before any of her competitors get it. So it's kind of pushing the product out into the market in that way, and it really isn't so much about what's flattering as it is what's new.
Mm-hmm.
So what's really cool about image consulting is it's all about the individual. It is helping a woman or man figure out, you know, what are her or his best features, how do we make him or her look the best they can be, and that's, as I say, a very exciting process.
Now, do you offer your services only in the Los Angeles area, or do you travel?
I'm happy to travel, of course. My client would need to absorb the travel expenses unless, of course, I was incidentally in the area. I am currently in connection with my book, which I know you're going to get to in a second, trying to schedule some various, I would say, workshops or seminars for the clients and customers of jewelry stores around the country. And in conjunction with that, I do take personal appointments. It's something that a few image consultants will do over the phone or by internet. And
okay.
I do hope to get to the point of having some technological opportunities, teleseminars, where I can work with someone, you know, via camera. But for the moment, the best thing to do, and I think that will be the case always, is one-on-one in the privacy of a person's own home.
Mm-hmm.
And then for me, geographically, that would be the greater Los Angeles area.
Right. Okay, so since you mentioned the book, tell us a little bit about your book. It's called Jewelry Savvy.
That's
correct?
Right. Yes, Jewelry Savvy, What Every Jewelry Wearer Should Know.
Mm-hmm.
This book was a collaboration between myself and Caroline Stanley, who's a third-generation jeweler. She actually was my marketing consultant when I first released the Aprecia jewelry line.
Mm-hmm.
And after her tasks were done, we were talking, and I said, well, you know, kind of what are you thinking about? What's up on your plate? And we realized we were both thinking about doing a book. What's exciting about this book is it is very different from almost anything out there. It looks at the whole process of selecting, caring for, and recycling jewelry with an emphasis on how image consulting principles come to bear in helping someone choose what is going to be most flattering.
Mm-hmm.
So we get into very specific issues about, for example, the best shape and length of earrings, the best necklace lengths,
for full-figure women.
For everyone. This
oh,
book
okay.
is everyone.
Okay.
Yes. And we do have a short but special section, Jewelry Tips for the Full-Figured Woman, in the book.
Mm-hmm.
I'm actually going to be putting together a special report for the plus-size market on jewelry specific to that market. That'll be coming out hopefully within the next several months.
Mm-hmm.
But for the moment, this book is a good all-purpose book, and it's something that I think is useful because very often people are in situations where we're thinking about getting a gift for someone,
mm-hmm.
and the book provides pointers on some surefire ways not to go wrong in that regard.
So can you give us a few tips specifically for plus-size women with the jewelry wearing?
Absolutely. You know, Shanice, I think the one thing that I find very often is that sometimes plus-size women are afraid to seize their power, if you will,
mm-hmm.
By virtue of their size, by their figures. They already have some automatic presence that someone who is smaller may not have.
Mm-hmm.
And this presence deserves to be celebrated. So the first thing that I would suggest is that people sort of take into account that there is an opportunity to wear some pieces that are to scale to the body and to the features of the face.
Mm-hmm.
So if someone has very, very small features, they might want to wear jewelry that has a smaller design to it,
mm-hmm.
say, you know, a thinner bracelet or perhaps thinner necklaces or necklaces with more detail. But it would be lovely to increase the volume of pieces that are being worn. And so one of the trends in wearing multiple pieces together is excellent for the plus-size woman. She has essentially the real estate on which she can stake the brooches or wear the necklaces.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a lovely opportunity to enjoy jewelry. So I say be aware of wearing something that's just too small and skimpy. It is really not very flattering. It's really not to scale to the person. And another idea that I would say is to really be mindful that things fit. If a bracelet is too tight, I really encourage
people. Yeah, that looks bad if it's real tight.
It looks bad, you know, to bring it in to your jeweler. If you have a local jeweler you already like, that's fantastic. If you don't, shop around. Many of them are excellent bench jewelers. They are able to help you. They can probably create an extender in some fashion that's not going to look like one of those little cheap, skimpy ones that you can buy online,
mm-hmm.
and will make the piece wearable for you.
Okay, well, that was some great tips. So tell us about the special offer you have for our listeners today.
Yes. Well, I'm delighted to be able to offer a copy of our book, Jewelry Savvy, What Every Jewelry Wearer Should Know, The cover price of the book is $19.99, and it is available at Amazon.com for that price right now. For your listeners, and through the end of this month, we will offer the book at 25% off, or let's just say $15 per copy. Just drop us a line either through the book website or to me personally, my email address, if I may.
Yeah, go ahead, if you want all the emails.
Yeah, you can contact me through my image consulting website, which is www.theimagecounselor.com. And let me spell that, theimagecounselor.com. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And email cynthia@theimagecounselor.com.
Okay.
And
that offer is good until the end of this month.
Through the end of this month. So the stroke of midnight on June 30, the offer will go away. You can also visit our book website, which is www.jewelrysavvybook.com. Let me spell that. JewelrySavvyBook.com.
Okay.
And you can reach us through that as well.
Okay, that was all the websites.
And if you're interested in Aprecia fine jewelry, do take a look. I have two absolutely gorgeous original models. One of whom is your host today, Shanice Lewis,
yes.
And also a number of additional ladies who are in my photo gallery and are wearing these beautiful pieces. They're all plus-size models, and it was a thrill and a delight to work with them. The website is www.aprecia, A-P-P-R-E-C-I-A, finejewelry.com. And as I like to say, appreciate yourself.
Well, that's awesome. Thank you so much for being with us this evening. It was great talking with you.
And here.
I'll have to put a reminder online about the special is the book for $15 until the end of the month.
That's right.
Okay. Well, thank you so much.
Appreciate it. Thank you, Shanice.
Okay. Bye-bye. And that was Cynthia Sliwa, CEO of Aprecia Fine Jewelry, image consultant and author, and she extended a very nice discount to our listeners. So I hope you take her up on her offer. The book is full of a lot of great tips for jewelry wearing for all sizes, not just plus size. So up next, we have D'Lo Brown. D'Lo is a photographer specializing in children, models, and actors. D'Lo's photos appear in portfolios and on comp cards at Dorothy Combs Models, Click Model Management, Goddess Division of the Model Service Agency, Ford, Wilhelmina, Use 12 Plus, and IPM Model Management. And D'Lo is based out of New York City. Let's get D'Lo on the line. D'Lo, are you there?
Shanice?
Hey, how are you doing?
I'm well. How are you?
Good. I'm glad you're able to make it with us this evening.
I sure am. I'm sorry if it's loud, though. I'm on the street in the middle of Manhattan. I just got out of class. I'm going to warn you now before you hear texting on.
Well, I hope you don't get mugged during the interview or anything crazy.
Oh, no. New York is not that bad.
Okay. So how did you get started as a photographer?
Well, I started as a photographer as a career when I was started modeling, like a little after I had been modeling, I decided I needed a side hustle to maybe help pay some bills and for shoots. So I started shooting my friends and seeing how I did. But I've been carrying a camera with me in my bag, no joke, since I was about 7 years old. I used to take photography classes in elementary school, junior high, high school. I've taken photography at every level in every school I've been in college, but I never really thought of it as a career, just something I like to do.
Oh, so you had already taken classes and everything.
Oh, yes. I had taken classes throughout my whole life, and I always had a camera in my bag. Any of my friends would tell you, like, I have piles and piles of albums because I took pictures at all times to an embarrassing point.
So do you still model, or have you retired and just doing photography?
Well, I did take a break from modeling and focused on photography for a few years. but I started modeling again towards the end of last year. So I do that, but I consider that my side hustle now, to be honest. The photography is my thing.
Okay. So what do you like better, being in front or behind the camera?
Well, I like both of them quite a bit. Like, behind the camera for me is more creative. It's more exciting. Like, I know some people, you know, they dance and they come alive in front of the camera. When I'm behind, I come alive there. And dressing up and primping and stuff is a little stressful for me at this point in my life.
Mm-hmm.
So, but the modeling, you know, when it does come down to it and I'm at a job and I'm, you know, having fun with another photographer and on a set, like, that energy gets to me too. So I enjoy both.
So as far as photography, you said you took classes and you're always doing it. How did you get started specifically shooting plus-size models?
Well, I started shooting plus-size models because that was who was available to me. As
okay.
a plus-size model, my friends were plus-size models. You know, I had plus-size models for my agency.
Right.
And I had the resources. I knew where to find them. Like, my first plus-size model was actually Jasmine Edwards, who was on your show
right.
at the beginning. I found her on plusmodels.com. But, you know, I just put up, hey, you know, anyone want to
come? Oh, I thought y'all grew up together or something.
Oh, no. I met her 3 or 4 years ago. She was my very first plus model I shot and the third person I shot, period.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
So what sets your photography apart from others?
What sets my photography apart from others?
Well, would you say you're at an advantage since you were a model first, and you might know poses better and what flatters a fuller frame?
I definitely think that helps a lot. I know poses, and I also know what makes people nervous when they're on a set.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that's really come in handy, because when a girl comes to shoot with me, I can pretty much see in their eyes and know the different situations that I was in as a model starting off that made me uncomfortable, and kind of put it out there and off in the open. You know, I can say, oh, I know, you know, this is a little strange, but after a while you get used to it. Or, you know, I understand when something I'm asking you to do is, like, uncomfortable position to hold, but I can let them know the feeling that you get when you get the end result, and they know I understand where they're coming from.
And you can tell them what agents are looking for.
Mm-hmm, I definitely have a good idea of where they fit in and what the agents are looking for at the time. So that's pretty helpful. I think that's actually maybe what sets my photography apart, because I know there's a lot of other model photographers as well.
Right.
And I think with my pictures, one thing you see is that they don't all look the same.
Mm-hmm.
They tend to have different feels depending on the person.
Mm-hmm.
And I make a point when someone comes to shoot to look at them and where I think they're going to fit in and what they need and what the pictures are for. And I shoot more towards that rather than trying to make everyone fit into D-Lo's style or my certain things. I
right.
save that for when I do the editorials and my personal projects, then it's about me and about my look. But when it comes to someone's test, it's about them always.
Great. That's a good thing to have. So what has the major accomplishments been with your photography so far?
Well, my favorite thing that I've shot so far that you guys have seen is the editorial in the June issue of Plus magazine.
In the June issue?
Mhm. Yeah. This June. This June.
So it's out right now.
It's out right now. Right now. Okay. You can go to the site and look at it right now.
Okay. Well, why you said you haven't seen it?
What do you mean?
I thought you said my biggest accomplishment is what you haven't seen.
Oh no, my biggest accomplishment that you guys have seen so far.
Oh.
You know, Shanice, you know me. I keep things sitting in my computer for like 3 months. But my biggest accomplishment that's out in the open right now is the June editorial. I love it. I love the cover, the picture of Courtney, the bridal gown. Like, I just love those pictures because when I look at it and I realize how far I've come, like, my photography's grown leaps and bounds in the last year, I'd even say, but, you know, 2 or 3 years. And, like, that kind of, I look at it and I'm like, wow, really, like, my work is paying off. I'm not just sitting here and not getting better.
Right.
So that was really exciting for me.
And so tell some of our listeners who are trying to get into modeling, what is a test shoot? Why is it important for models to do test shoots? And give us some do's and don'ts.
Okay. With test shoots, as my definition, I'm not talking about TFP, which is like a free shoot, but a test shoot is a shoot for your portfolio development. And you find a photographer, or if you're with an agency, they'll give you a list.
Mm-hmm.
And you pick someone who you can relate to. I always recommend calling someone up, talking with them, and seeing if you jive. You know, you don't want to spend the day with someone you're not really feeling.
Right.
So find out before you put your money out there. And so that's one thing I recommend. Don't be embarrassed to call the photographer up, go meet them, whatever you want to do, because that's a lot of money for you to just give to a stranger.
And so why are test shoots so important?
Test shoots are really important because that's how you sell yourself. When you walk into an agency, when you go to a casting with your book, your test shoots are the pictures in your portfolio besides tears. But in order to get tears, the clients have to see how you photograph. They have to see your personality, how you wear clothes. So these pictures are selling and showing your versatility, your look, your body, everything. It comes from that test shoot. You want to have clothes that fit properly. You want to have a variety of things. You want to have things that are professional and proper for what you're going for. You know, plus models, it's great if you want to take a sexy picture for your husband or something and you want to, you know, wear like a tight spandex dress or something. And if someone comes to me, I'll shoot that for you, but know that I'm not recommending you to put that in your portfolio. When you're developing a portfolio, you need those approachable looks that say that, you know, a Midwest housewife can relate to you. Just things that show you're relatable and that you can sell clothes. Do you hear that horn?
Yeah.
This is the most bootleg interview you have to offer.
We're going to keep it moving, though. So tell me, now some girls might be confused because you said you can go to a agency and they will give you a list of photographers. How do you know if you go to like a scam agency and they want you to shoot with a certain photographer? How would girls know the difference from who's good and who's bad?
Girls have to be responsible for finding out about anyone they start working with. If you go to an agency, research it. It's so easy nowadays to go online, to go to different model sites and say, hey, I went to BAM agency and this met with this agent. Does anyone know about them? You know, especially if you're a plus model, go to plusmodels.com, go to Venus Divas. These girls, there are women there who've been with every possible agency who know about the different things. And you just type in, you meet people, you develop some community with people who are interested in the same thing, and you find out, you know, do a Google search. It takes you 5 minutes and find out the reputation of these people. But before you go to the agencies, if you then just look up lists of legit agencies at different sites and in different books, you know you're kind of on the right path anyway. So if you go to, say, Wilhelmina or Dorothy Combs or IPM, you know that when they give you a photography list, there are other girls from there that are already working, that have reputable.
You know it's legit.
You know it's legit, so you know you can take that list and you can take that contract, you know, and you know there's some legitimacy to it. I'm not saying just sign a contract. Oh, that's another thing, because I've been hearing people doing it all the time. Girls, anyone listening, if an agency offers you a contract, please take it to a lawyer and have it looked at before you just sign it. Sorry, that's just something that people have been coming in and telling me about.
Well, if you go to a lawyer, what if the agency is not willing to make the changes your lawyer suggests?
If the most agencies will, the legit agencies, I've never really heard of the agency saying, no, I won't make the changes, because they're usually valid things.
Mm-hmm.
That the lawyers should be worried about, that the model should be worried about. But it's a business. You know, you wouldn't start a contract with a shoe vendor. You know, if you had a shoe store, you wouldn't make a deal with Adidas and not have the contract looked over. You know, just sound like, oh, yeah, we'll sell your stuff for this price, blah, 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 and not look at it.
Right.
That's not your thing. And so I just think if you're going to go into a modeling agency, it's one of those things. It's not governed by unions like acting.
Right.
You know, there's so many things that you can be taken on, and even if it's a legitimate agency, it's still a contract, you know? It's like a loan for your house. It could be Chase Bank. Everyone knows Chase, but you're still going to have someone look at it.
Right. So give us some advice for photographers that want to get started shooting plus models. It was so easy to you because you were already in the industry, but somebody on the outside, how can they break in and perfect shooting plus-size models?
Why are you laughing? Because I'm thinking easy, and I'm like, what? Man, Shanice, I'm sweating. You know me sitting there shooting you on the couch in my sister's neighbor's house. It was not easy.
Right.
But I understand what you mean. The I just had a guy write to me on MySpace, and what I told him is just go for it. There's so many girls who want to know their, who want to learn their angles, and who want practice in front of a camera, the same way that a photographer would want to practice different angles on plus models, you know, before they can really develop their book in it.
Right.
Find these girls, you know, go to Model Mayhem and reach out, offer girls free shoots. Send letters to agency girls that you think are pretty if you find them and say, hey, I'd love to practice with you. You know, make it a sweet deal. You know, like, hey, I have this great location. You know, I'll buy you lunch. But people want to shoot. People who are models love to shoot, and they'll come out. They'll help you out if you're sincere and if you keep developing your craft. If you're not developing your lighting skills, if you're not developing your photography levels, your Photoshop skills, and you're putting up crap, that's where you're going to find people not willing to go because they don't want those pictures, that type of picture of themselves, to be up on the internet.
Right.
But if you're constantly making changes, getting rid of your old stuff when your new stuff is better, people are going to come out and work with you. And one thing I do, too, is I don't just shoot plus models. I shoot plus people. I shoot, you know, tons of different real people, different sizes. So...
Right.
You know, like once I know how to shoot a girl who's I don't even know what to say, like any size, like, you know, maybe a lot larger, not the industry standard for plus models.
You don't discriminate.
I don't discriminate, and shooting those girls helps me so much when someone who does fit it comes in, because by comparison, it's a lot easier with the angles because there's more that you can try out and stuff like that. The lighting, it's easier. So. If you don't discriminate and just choose agency models, you'll find that your versatility opens up and that you're ready to adapt to anybody who walks through the door.
So do you ever cast models for projects? And if so, let our listeners know how they can apply.
I sure do. I cast models for projects, any editorials that I've shot, personal projects. I cast partially through agencies and partially through I have a casting site where I put up advertisements on Model Mayhem, on Elegant Plus. I'm the site photographer for Elegant Plus on MySpace, and I put up casting notices all the time. So if anyone wants to send me a request at MySpace, you'll always see a bulletin if I put it up about whatever I'm casting for, and that's myspace.com/DLOSHOOTS. That's DLOSHOOTZ. And if they don't want to go through there, they can just send in a couple pictures of themselves, their measurements, and their location to submit to DLO, SUBMIT. Wow, I can spell. Okay, SUBMITTODLO@gmail.com.
Okay.
So I keep a casting file. I don't get rid of anyone's pictures for about a year and a half.
Okay.
And so if you submit there, I definitely look through it every single time I cast something to see if you fit in.
And so you are based in New York, but you travel.
I do travel. I'm slowing down on the travel a little bit right now because I'm getting geared up for a move. Yay.
Okay.
but I'm in New York for the rest of the summer until at least October. And in October, I'll probably head back down to Miami.
So anything coming up we could be on the lookout for?
Yes. You can be on the lookout in August for something special coming out. It's hard to say, you know, because I want you to be on the lookout, but I don't want to tell you what it is.
Okay, so we just have to add you on MySpace and,
yes.
And look out for the announcements.
Yes, on MySpace, look out for that. And I'm also posting up a contest this week. I like to do one contest each year, and this year it's going to be for comedians. I'm a little random, and last year it was kids. This year it's comedians, so whoever makes me laugh the hardest, I'm going to be accepting videos, we'll get a free shoot.
Oh, that's good. Comedians need headshots all the time.
Comedians really need headshots, and D-Lo needs to laugh. So
it's a perfect match.
Yeah, it'll be a perfect match. We can help each other out. So any of you guys who are silly, funny, you don't have to be a professional comedian, you know, start making your videos up to 2 minutes, and I'm going to post all the info in my blog within this week.
Well, good. Well, I'm so glad you were able to join us. It was great to talk to you as usual.
Great to talk to you too, girl.
We made it through. So
yes,
thank you.
Did.
We'll definitely be in touch, and we'll be on the lookout for your big announcement in August.
All right. Thanks a lot, Shanice.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
That was D'Lo Brown. She is a plus model and photographer. And last but definitely not least is Sage Salzer, plus size supermodel. Yes, we have plus size supermodels. Sage has appeared in numerous magazines, widely circulated print campaigns, television segments, and commercials. Some of her clients include Fruit of the Loom, Lane Bryant, Catherine's, Target, Walmart, Eddie Bauer, Tommy Hilfiger, Nordstrom's, Old Navy, Playtex, and the list goes on and on. Sage is also an active advocate of healthy lifestyle choices for women and serves on the National Board of Advisors for Hearty Girls Healthy Women. Sage's plus-size modeling career has taken her all over the world to places such as England, Germany, Mexico, South Africa, and Sweden. Sage is represented by top modeling agencies around the world and currently lives in New York City. So let's give a warm welcome to Sage. Hi, Sage. Are you there?
I'm here. Hi, Shanice. How are you doing?
Hi. Good. It's so great to have you with us this evening.
I'm so glad to speak with you. Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited.
Let's get started at the beginning. How did you get started in modeling?
I got started when I was 14 and sent a photo into a contest on television for in L.A. It was like a Good Morning L.A.
Mm-hmm.
show, and went on this little morning show with four other girls, and then one that, and it was like a trip to Paris and a contract, but I was a straight size model then.
Mm-hmm.
So I after a year stopped doing that because I just couldn't keep my weight down.
So how did the demands of being a straight-size model take a toll on your body?
Well, when they first signed me, they said I was 10 pounds overweight.
Mm-hmm.
And actually I was 5'9 and 140.
Okay.
Which is really, really a good weight,
mm-hmm.
looking back, and a very healthy weight.
But they still told you you had to drop below 10 that.
10 pounds is what they said initially.
Mm-hmm.
And so I lost 10, and then it was losing 10 more.
Oh, okay.
It was nonstop. And then I lost another 10 more, and it was lose 5 more. And, I mean, finally I was down to like 115 or 118, 5'9", 5'10", and my hair was falling out, and stopped having my period, and
really
emotional. A big hot mess emotionally, like crying one second, laughing the next.
Really?
Because it messes up your hormones too.
Uh huh.
Like extreme dieting.
So how did you go from that to becoming a plus size model?
Well, you know, because I ate 750 calories for a year. I just have to say this. It
wow.
was so horrible. And like rode the exercise bike an hour a day, and went to Japan for a summer, and I came back, totally hated the industry because, you know, it didn't love me back
mm-hmm.
for being bigger than the other girls. I even stopped reading magazines. I was totally just really grossed out and never wanted anything to do with the industry again.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, finished high school and then went to college, and out of college there was a magazine called Mode.
Yes.
That we were all looking at, and it was so cool, you know. So I started looking at that and really thinking seriously about doing the plus-size modeling thing.
Now, before that, did you know there were plus-size models, or did Mode expose you to?
You know, I did, because I was approached by a photographer in New York.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time, I think my feeling was, if I go back to modeling, it would be straight-size modeling. as embarrassing as that thought process is now, and really, you know, naive, I think that the industry, you know, had really a bias that definitely has decreased, that plus size modeling doesn't count as modeling.
Right.
And
so,
yeah, so, you know, it changed, like, when Mode, you know, looking at Mode, it was really inspiring, and I know I'm not alone.
No, it was inspiring to me as well.
God, yeah. I mean, I think it was the first time, you know, that we saw, like, plus-size women looking out of the pages of Vogue or Elle.
Right, real fashionable.
Yeah, you're not kidding. Definitely.
So what has your biggest obstacle been, do you think, in the modeling industry? Like, you've had so much success, but what do you think was the biggest obstacle for you?
I mean, it's been a slow climb, honestly.
Okay.
I've been doing this, like, not 9 years or something.
Oh, so it didn't come overnight to you?
No, it didn't. I think, you know, that's a widely perpetuated myth in every industry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, especially any kind of entertainment or media.
Yeah.
It's like, all of a sudden, overnight, this person's six, because it's a fun story to hear.
Right.
But,
so over the years, did you change your look to make you more marketable? Or?
Well, you know, when I first started and I was trying, I was visiting New York because I went to college out here and I had a lot of friends here. I'd be staying with friends and I would just, you know, try to go into Wilhelmina or Ford. And I was turned down, like, many times.
Oh, okay.
And, yeah, and what they would say is, you know, you're too commercial.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, I think part of it was in my presentation. Like, I always wore bright red lipstick and, well, like, a nice, tasteful, like, matte red lipstick, no other matte. I had my own thing. You know, we all have our own style going on.
Right.
But I think they want something more mainstream and just girl next door, plain.
Right.
Yeah. So, but I think also something happened where the industry became more commercial.
Mm-hmm.
Also, fortunately.
So, what would you say that your biggest accomplishment in the modeling industry has been so far?
Biggest accomplishment.
You have so many, but what are you the most proud of?
I think just taking one day at a time
mm-hmm.
and trying to get along with everybody and be professional,
mm-hmm.
you know, be on time and do what I say I'm going to do.
Right.
Be prepared.
Right, that's a big one.
Just, it really is. You know, I went Wednesday through Friday, I'm shooting Lane Bryant, and I went to the set today, and I went to a fitting yesterday,
mm-hmm.
but went to the set tonight just to talk to a couple people, and I ended up seeing, like, pictures that were hung next to the mirror of the look they wanted to go by,
mm-hmm.
and some of the pictures that were posted up on, like, this board of what they'd taken so far.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, boy, I better be prepared Wednesday.
Yeah. So you.
And what that meant to me is, like, wow, they're using, I'm just saying a little example. They're using a lot of hair. I got a lot of hair already, but I'm going to pack extensions.
Oh, so you bring extensions with you.
Oh, this time I'm going to, but, like, they don't give you the heads up. I would just, you know, having everything on you really is important, and I'm seeing the girls in our, you know, in their underwear, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to do a couple sit-ups tonight. But you know what? It does make a difference.
Mm-hmm.
If I only do, like, I hate to admit, only like 10 or 20, because I'm a baby with that stuff,
mm-hmm.
I can see and feel the difference. I feel more confident, and I personally see a difference.
Right.
Yeah, get a little spray on tan, and but no, I'm glad I saw that stuff, because it's just a reminder, be prepared.
All times, at all
times. It is, and I have big feet. I'm a size 12, like, wide.
Oh, so your model bag is really important.
It weighs, like, 70 pounds.
Really?
Yeah.
What is it, a large suitcase?
Yes, and I have a lot of shoes in there. I love Payless so much. Because
okay.
They have so many good things. I'm blown away by them. I really am. I'm such a fan of them. I want to contact them and be like, what can I do for you? Because they've come out with so many good shoes.
Mm-hmm.
They really have. They have all these designers designed for them. They go up to a size 14. Anyway, I'm really big into Payless. And, yeah, I have every kind of shoe. You know, my own little stylist kit with, like, tape and scissors and
so you are always prepared.
Yeah, because if I don't look good in front of the camera, I'm the one that's not going to be hired back.
That's true. So you have to go above and beyond.
Totally. They don't know the stylist didn't have, you know, whatever. And they don't know the makeup artist was having a fight with his boyfriend.
Right.
Know? So
right.
I'm in the bathroom sneaking doing my makeup, which I don't recommend. But because I've gotten in a lot of trouble. But, yeah, like they really don't know. All they know is, hey, that girl doesn't look so good.
So let me ask you a question. Do you struggle accepting jobs for weight loss clients such as SlimFast? Because I know you did a SlimFast ad, especially with your story. Or do you just see it as work and like you're not really a representative?
No, I hear you. I saw something on the internet where someone had written, oh, she's a big fat sellout. I mean, it hurt my feelings just because they don't know. You know, you don't know all the personal ins and outs of what someone's going through, obviously. But I love to eat.
Mm-hmm.
I totally do. And also, I think, part of why I am this size is I feel genuinely sexier at this size. Like, I've been smaller. But also, like, I can easily gain weight overnight, in fact. So.
Well, do you struggle accepting a job? Like, sometimes if you disagree with something?
SlimFast. I mean, for example, SlimFast, like, I've used SlimFast for 15 years often, just a little bit here and there. And for convenience, I'll pack the nutritional little bars because I don't want to get too starving because then I'll eat anything. So, like, in my bag, I'll have different bars, and I've used them. So, I mean, not them. I'm trying to think. I've had stuff come up where I'm like, no. Like, there was a weight loss thing where they asked, do you have pictures of you thinner?
Mm-hmm.
And they wanted to pay you to use that thinner picture as the end picture.
Oh, so they're trying to fool people.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's horrible.
Yeah. Yeah. Because, obviously if you don't have your word, you really don't have anything.
Right.
And people, business is small. I mean, I know that I'm really, like, hard on myself and other more hard on myself, but I think it is a small community, and if people
they talk right. So with your popularity as a model, do you have plans to venture out in other areas of entertainment or be an entrepreneur?
I hope to diversify. I do. But I don't want to say with exactly what or exactly how because I think sometimes talking about it can replace doing it.
Okay. So we just have to be on the lookout.
Aw, I hope so. I'm trying my darn best every day. You know, that's all we can do, I think, and then just give the rest over to God or whatever.
Right.
Well,
tell us a little more about the Hardy Girls Healthy Women organization. You're on the board.
Board of Advisors, yeah. It can be found at www.hghw.org, and it's based out of Maine, and they're trying to branch out more, but it's about educating young women. God, there's so much. I think it's mostly geared towards preteens. But it's also educating, professors and mothers how to
educate. And it teaches them about nutrition.
It teaches. There's so many different platforms. There's right now they're dealing with a lot of the bullying that goes on.
Oh, okay.
And girl fighting, how it's really like in the media they encourage girl fighting. For example, movies like Mean Girls.
Mm-hmm.
And women being competitive with each other and backstabbing and throwing each other in front of the bus for a guy or whatever. And I think that's a big reason that men tend to get ahead more and women don't is because, they really don't turn against each other as much.
Right.
And I think that's – the girl fighting is a really interesting topic. And – the one I feel most passionately about is media literacy, which is teaching women how to understand what they're being sold. mm-hmm. whether it's a TV commercial or an ad in a magazine, so that
they don't try to compare themselves to it and put themselves down.
Yeah, or being like, yeah, being, okay, right now I'm being, you know, sold that I need to be a size 2, or that I'm ugly because I don't look exactly like this or that, and I need to buy this hair dye and that makeup, and that's the definition of pretty, when that's totally made up by people trying to make you money off you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, that sounds like a really good group. I'm going to have to check out their website and find out more about them.
Thank you, Shanice.
So, tell us, how can someone get in touch with you for bookings? I know there's so many ways.
No. I would just definitely through AIDA at Click in New York.
Okay, that's the main one.
Yeah, since I'm based out of here. Yeah, I'm with Click out here. And
give us your website.
I think they're up on modelwire.com.
Give us your personal.
Yeah, sure. Thank you. It's Sage. Salzer.com. So it's SageSalz, like zebra, ER. And I'm up on MySpace under Sage Salzer.
Well, sounds good. It was such a pleasure talking with you this evening. Thank you so much for joining us, and much success on your career. Continued success.
Thank you, Shanice. Let's stay in touch. I love your smile. I've been looking at your photos. You are a beautiful woman. You take great photos.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. We'll definitely keep
in touch. You really radiate.
All right. Well, we will talk soon.
Okay. Take care.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
So that was Sage, and she is a plus-size supermodel. So, yes, we do have plus-size supermodels, and if you take a look, she's all over the place. And a special thank you to all of our guests this evening, Cynthia Sliwa, CEO of Aprecia Fine Jewelry, image consultant and author, D'Lo Brown, plus model and photographer, and Sage, our very own plus supermodel. So tune in to our next show, which is scheduled for Monday, July 7th, and we'll have more plus industry professionals with stories to not only inspire you, but to keep you connected. If you're interested in being a guest on the show or want to promote your company, for more information, go to our website at www.plusmodelmag.com and click on the Plus Model Magazine icon. I've been your host this evening, Shanice Lewis, and thank you for tuning in and supporting Plus Model Radio. Until next time, keep thriving in your curves and be blessed.